Oh, come on. What do you mean, roll video? We're killing ourselves out here. You're going to be ready.
I'm not working this way again, ever. This is absolutely horrible.
Hello, I'm John Waters, and I'm supposed to announce there is no smoking in this theater, which I think is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my life.
Tertiary.
I love that word.
You know what I realized about these speakers, these mics?
Yeah, they're mics.
They're all the same mic.
Yeah.
They're all the same mic.
Yeah. They're just somebody manufactures these and then...
Mine's not.
It's called a private label. Just different. Someone else goes, okay, I'm going to put my
thing label on it.
To make it look like I made this.
Yeah. It's not unusual or wrong in any way.
They just want to be loved by everyone.
Okay, so welcome to the Cinema Underground. We're talking about Akira Kurosawa again. It's part two. And
again?
Yeah, again.
Oh,
I know. It's just a thing you have to do. You can't talk about him one time and not two times. Because he's Japanese.
Just kidding.
Twice.
Three times.
Akira.
Yeah, Akira Kurosawa. Yeah. And we're talking about, hold on. Give me one second. We're talking about Hidden Fortress. Mark's here. I'm Pat. I'm here. Mark's here.
I'm also here.
Jeff's here.
He's here.
I'm Andy.
Andy's here, and if you're listening to this for the first time, you didn't know that. So we're talking about Hidden Fortress, 1958, and Yojimbo, 1961. Mm-hmm. That's the movies we're talking about today. They're both similar. The thing that links these two movies is...
Feudal rocks. Japan.
Rocks. Feudal Japan.
Comfy clothes.
Comfy-ish clothes.
Actor.
There's actors in these movies. There's dialogue. There's subtitles if you're watching them. You don't speak Japanese. And you want to know what they're saying. And they're both made by Akira Kurosawa.
Hi.
That's it. So I didn't pick either of these movies, so...
Yep.
So whoever wants to start can start.
What do you want to start with?
You can start.
I'll start. Okay, so Yojimbo, very good movie.
Yo.
Now, made in 1961. So it's sort of a multi-genrical flick. There's, it's in black and white, but it's sort of like a wild westy samurai. It's about a samurai who's a ronin, which means after the Tokugawa shogunate fall, there are a bunch of unemployed samurais, and he waltzes into this town and decides to fuck shit up
/ fix shit up.
Yeah, like fix shit.
One of those fixer upper shows on TLC, but it's like a samurai is on the show. Yeah, and he's like, we're going to improve this town with all these shitty people. And he shows up with his cameras and everything, and he's like, oh, I'm going to figure out a way to kill everybody, but it's going to take a little while, so you got to watch and find out.
Yep. And that's about all the spoiler you need if we are spoiling. Well, we're spoiling.
Yeah, we'll spoil it.
It's
from 1961. It's old.
Right, it's supposed to be spoiled already.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, then, I mean, I don't know, it's the type of people who would listen to a podcast about something and also don't want to, I don't know what the crossover is on the Venn diagram with people who would listen to a podcast about something from 1961, made in Japan, and are afraid of spoilers. What's the overlap there? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like our style of review is like, how do you not spoil?
You would have to spoil.
You have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we like to talk about the things that we've seen.
Right.
You gotta spoil it.
All right. Getting that out of the way.
Yeah. Deconstructivism.
Let me flip the page. So it's basically sort of like a Wild West flick.
Yeah.
But in samurai form, which I thought was pretty fucking cool.
Right.
It was pretty cool. He's like your typical tough fucker. Comes into a town and everyone's scared to death of them, and they're untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Just some guy shows up who's just, you cannot hurt or kill, and that's it. Even with a pistol.
Because there's this cheaty face guy, sort of douche. The main antagonist. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting stuff that I found about this movie. It was critically acclaimed when it came out. It's quite good. Kurosawa scolded Mifune for being late.
Ooh.
And forced him to... he didn't force him. Mifune, out of his own volition, decided to come in early every day in full costume and makeup just to make up for it. Because that's what they fucking do over there.
That's apparently Japanese. That's a very Japanese way to deal with someone chastising you. Like in America, if you get chastised by your boss, they're just like, I'm going to show up even later tomorrow. Fuck him. But in Japan, they're like, no, I'll not bring shame on my family. I'll show up earlier tomorrow and earlier the next day, and I'll be in full makeup. And tomorrow, I'm just going to make the rest of the movie on my own. And I'm going to give it to him, and he can cut it, and that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kurosawa, there were... The cinematography in this movie was great. Kurosawa hired Keiuo Miyagara.
Miyagara.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Sure, why
and
not?
Yoshio Sugino. Kenjutsu swordsman. That's right.
Cool.
Good work. And I had no idea there were so many goddamn fucking schools of like swords play in Japan. It's like ridiculous. Like there's like
the
four
art of everything.
Right. It's like two-handed swords, two swords, short swords, all sorts of swords, and each one of them has like 3 to 6 different like form factors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the art of drawing swords, which I thought was interesting. Iaido. Yeah.
Wait, is that how do you spell Iaido?
Iaido. It's
Iaido. Okay.
Do.
Because this movie also takes place in the Edo period, which is Edo. Is it Edo?
Yeah.
The Edo period, 1603 through. Wait, is it six?
Formerly Tokyo.
1603 mm-hmm. through 1868?
Something like that.
That's a fucking like that. Big window. Yeah, wow.
Sorry to all our Japanese listeners, if we have any, butchering
the
shit.
What dates?
The Edo period.
The dates would be the 1603 to the 1868.
Oh, okay.
That's a big period.
And Yoshio Sugino, the swordsman that Akira employed to help with the cinematography. He lived in Naruto Village, which I thought was very strange, because Naruto is a very popular anime.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, his dojo, he moved to Tokyo and then, not Wakizashi, that's a sword. Anyways, I forgot to write it down, but he moved to a place that was firebombed by the U.S. completely. It destroyed his home and dojo, which I thought was very interesting because it reminded me of Graves of the Fireflies.
Yeah. Yeah, we were firebombing for sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, just one thing. The Edo period was characterized by economic growth, strict social order, isolationist foreign policies, a stable population, quote-unquote, no more wars, and popular enjoyment of arts and culture. It doesn't sound that bad.
This sounds like...
everything
great.
You want in that era of time. I mean, they did put quotes around things. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Typically, it means it's even
staunch
better than
imperialism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this movie was actually remade by Sergio Leone. As Fistful of Dollars in the
US. That's
yeah,
okay,
like
yeah. Yeah. I've seen that, and yeah.
And, but more. the release of that movie was delayed by 3 years due to a lawsuit by Akira Kurosawa because they did not purchase the, it wasn't copyright, but the,
parody?
I
don't know.
Well,
it's
it wasn't
whatever.
A parody. Fistful of Yen was a parody. Fistful of Dollars. It was in Kentucky Fried.
I don't know. Anyways, they didn't have the rights to use his copyrighted material, or something. I don't know if it was copyrighted.
So how the fuck did they get the Magnificent Seven made? Then did they get the rights for that? Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You basically just have to petition them and ask them.
Oh,
I
okay.
think.
So he probably would have said yes then.
Maybe
they just didn't bother.
Right, they didn't bother. They were just insulting the Japanese by doing that.
Wow, the whole country. That's
yep.
pretty terrible.
Yep, they did that. Just kidding.
I don't like that.
it was just
I don't like that at all. Clint Eastwood would do some shit like that, too.
So Mifune in this movie, the actor who plays
Ronin, the big ass Ronin with
reminds
the big old
me of
Ronin
your character in Dungeons and Dragons.
So don't dick.
Is he just a little bit?
Makes sense.
Why is it hard to find his fucking around fucking with name? The shopkeepers? He's like, just give me shit for free. Come on. Yeah.
It doesn't. Nothing. Do they give a name to this? Is he just like a nameless guy who shows up?
He names himself.
It's like he says count. Mulberry Bush Man or something
Mulberry
like that.
Mulberry Bushman.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
okay.
Something like that.
That's cool.
Mulberry Bush, 30 years old, is what it's.
Yeah, yeah,
30.
Yeah.
To be old. Okay. It's supposed to be. But then he says, "But I'm actually closer to 40."
What the fuck is this guy talking about? Just shows up into your town, kicking the shit out of everybody, talking crazy. Like, maybe he's an escaped mental patient.
Shit. Well, he certainly wears clothes like
an
escaped mental patient.
He just has, like, retard strength, and, like, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
What?
There's
no
theory.
Other explanation.
There's one theory.
There's absolutely no other explanation for him being as strong and as capable as he is. Normal people aren't like that. Just like most people in big businesses on Wall Street are psychopaths. This guy is probably one of those people.
Yep.
There you go. You got, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to say, like, Donald Trump is like a Ronin samurai dude, but he's a little, like, you know, he's kind of tarded,
maybe
psychopathic.
Like
Jordan Peterson, maybe?
Whatever his name is there. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Jordan... DiNunzio? DiCaprio?
Yeah. Jordan DiCaprio.
Jordan DiCaprio.
There's
your guy. That was a great
Belford.
Guy. Belford. Yeah. Yeah, more of these background guys. Not like a doofus who, like, gets all up in your face. Like
Belfast?
One of these guys is, like, Belford. Jordan Belford, who shows up and just kind of sneak around in his yacht, and then he gets out in one town... Bangs everybody, drinks a bunch of sake.
You know, Chong, Tommy Chong, like,
yeah,
shared a cell with him.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who touches himself while drinking in the name of justice is pretty cool.
Did that happen in Wolf of Wall Street?
No, that happened in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, right, he's like... In his shirt, like all rubbing himself,
just when
drinking sake.
You touch yourself in the name of justice.
And
I
then he's like,
else.
I'll stay in the name of justice. And to the creepy inn guy.
Mark's doing origami.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Pens are involved, which is strictly prohibited.
That's not a pen. That's a pencil.
Oh, shit.
That's a pure Japanese number.
He destroyed my
yen pencil.
Thing.
It's a tardigrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go. I like them. Yeah, he had some...
Oregon.
Mifune had some really great scenes in this.
He looks younger in this.
He looks even younger, even
later.
More angry.
Film later.
I don't understand how you get somebody to look this angry all
look,
the time.
Yeah, well, he's always looks... Yeah, he's always... That's kind
like
of...
Shave
that's
their
his
eyebrows
deal, yeah.
into a...
Into an angry into face,
like a,
yeah.
A furrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like during the first battle between the two crime families, he's sitting up there in the tower like a lifeguard. He's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'm going to throw him a life preserver.
Fuck oh, me. Yeah, that scene is amazing. Just the way that scene is shot, how just the top very tippy part of the people at the bottom with the swords comes into the shot, and but mainly it's him, and mainly it's the tower. Very phallic,
mm-hmm.
by the way,
yep.
which I like. Everybody mm-hmm. should like that. It's very appealing. Just... And on a gut level, on an emotional level, you're just that something like that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a big old
tower,
and then two little waves that they look like waves. That's what was
mm-hmm.
interesting to me of people that look like waves skimming around the bottom, sort of semi insignificant as they merge together. My thought was like he's just gonna let all of them kill each other, and then he's gonna come down and pick and kill the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it didn't work out like that because the coppers showed up.
Mm-hmm. totally incompetent drunk sheriff man.
Yeah.
Did you watch this before coming over?
I watched some of it before coming over.
Okay.
Not all of it. I've seen it before, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the music sort of reminded me of Final Fantasy VII music a little bit.
You know what?
Like,
honestly, both of these movies remind me of, like, Final Fantasy VII and, like, VI and just a certain era. And because, like, there's, like, this weird, what's the word? It's, like, a lightheartedness
mm-hmm.
with these movies.
Yeah, there's definitely that.
There is
yeah,
an underlying comedy to it a little bit.
Levity.
Yeah.
Levity.
There, and there yes, was one there scene, and I think it was in the fortress, where levity. It's like this music's playing, and it's like it sounded like something that would be in a Final Fantasy, where a character's like running, like trying to sneak or something, and it's like.
They're in humorous. Like the
wrong, huh?
Humorous.
Yeah, but it's like humorous, kind of.
They're like in the wrong sex's clothing or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whoa, gender bender.
So I actually think I'm in a thought occurred to me maybe if the creators of gender Final Fantasy, at least for a few of the installments, nice.
The new
actually kind of took some inspiration from Kurosawa.
I'm sure they must have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I assume that everybody who does any form of media in Japan is doing so in the shadow of Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was huge there. He was even as huge as a foreign director can be in America, particularly like an Asian film director. As big as that could possibly be, he was that big. He was the biggest.
And especially before the age of
anime.
A lot
of his movies did better internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Than they did in Japan.
That's what I'm curious to know. Is how, I mean, I'm sure they did well in Japan. Like, I'll just look at Yojimbo's, how it done did in Japan. Release, Yojimbo was released in Japan on the 25th, 1961. The film was released by Seneca International.
Doesn't release.
Okay, reception, though. Okay, so Academy, okay, but this is, the film was nominated for Academy Award, but that's obviously.
Didn't
like
win
best
it.
Best foreign film.
But that's, that's an American award. So I guess. Oh, I think.
So if you read,
I didn't get any.
If
I don't
you
see
read
any Japanese awards
like
here,
like Kurosawa's biography, it like goes through every one of his films, and like this one, people didn't really like in Japan for whatever reason, but it did great.
Did you read Akira Kurosawa's biography?
Yeah,
which is really?
The Wikipedia biography.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought there was a big old.
No, not
I thought
a book.
You were like a secret trove of. Secret things. You might be. What?
It was pretty long. I probably scrolled up like 200 times.
You were scrolling. I don't know what these movies are about. What are these movies about? Because that's the one thing I think it's like they are good movies, but like I just find myself wondering when I'm watching, like, what the fuck is this even about? What's the deal here?
Well, Yojimbo was about this guy who comes and like drives the criminal organizations out of the town, basically.
But he only drives one out of the town, right?
Yeah, but doesn't he, like,
he just hands him
the other one?
Right, he, like, guts one, but the leader of the other one is still alive, right?
Yeah, but they don't...
He, like, killed...
No,
the
end
of it, they don't function the same way.
No. The one group killed the other people from the other gang, so they annihilate the other gang, then at the end he comes and...
Like kills all of them.
Yeah.
He kills all of them.
Yeah.
Except for the one
guy.
Is that what happened?
He kills them all.
Yeah, they like
except for the one guy.
After adjusting his manual.
The one group stormed the headquarters of the place where
they burned it.
Yeah.
Right, and I thought he left, or maybe that was the sheriff, because the sheriff and the head of the other household look very similar.
You mean the Capulets?
What's the name of the fucking old guy who he talks to at first? Who's that guy? He's in all
these
movies.
The innkeeper?
Is that what he is? Is that what he does? Because he's just the guy who eats food, eats rice, and then he drinks sake there, and then he just keeps conferring with him throughout.
Oh,
it's a guy. It's just a restaurant. He's a restaurant.
Yeah, he's a restaurant.
Yeah.
He's a restaurateur. And he, that actor is just in all these movies I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of them that are, but the only ones that really stand out to me are him and...
Oh, the sake brewer.
Mifu.
Oh, wait, no. He claims to be the mayor.
Claims to be the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. Ijoro Tono as Ganji, owner and the Ronin's ally confidant.
I like him. I especially like him in Seven Samurai. He's awesome.
Let's
and you know what's weird about it? Mifune is the dopey fucking samurai in Seven Samurai. Like
this
dipshit.
This is just his selected filmography.
Oh, whoa.
There's like 100 things.
Here's 100 and geez.
To lower depths.
What
is that? Another Akira Kurosawa film based on the play The Lower Depths by Maxim Gorky.
Mm-hmm.
Yorkie.
Oh, right, because he had a hard-on for, like, Russian shit, too.
Who, Kurosawa did?
Yeah. Ah! He was the vice admiral in Tora Tora Tora.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
That's pretty cool.
This guy, he was an actor for 47 years.
Is this before? Oh, well, not before. But was he an actor before he was a... Well, now Mark just went to the bathroom, and I can't ask him if he was an actor before he was a director, like a lot of Japanese folks are.
Nope, just an actor, it says.
Oh, no, I forgot we switched people. I'm sorry. Okay, so... Oh, yeah, okay.
No, we didn't switch.
No, I was talking about Akira Kurosawa. I went backwards. Anyway, I like this guy.
Was actually the son of a sake brewer in real life.
Whoa.
Yeah, but Ijiro Tono, also a very busy, busy man.
Busy man. I bet Tetsuro Mifune has, like, the coolest... Wow. His picture is just him being handsome. I guess that's what he...
Right.
That seems like that's what he does, is he bees handsome.
Right, he just is casted as an angry samurai man.
Mm-hmm. Angry samurai man who bees handsome. He's just in a lot of movies, and he's hot, and that's all I can find about him.
Oh, also, I really like the sets in these movies, and specifically the shutters that they used to spy on the warring households in the tavern. Those things were so clever. They're just like those big blinds. They're like Venetians, except they're like made out of wood, and they're big. Each individual rung is large. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
What about wipes? Does this movie have any wipes in it? You know what I'm talking about?
Wives?
Wipes.
No.
Like the scene wipe. Because, like, Hidden Fortress had so many of those.
No.
And this had none.
I'm trying to
recall any.
I mean, no. They're probably out of fashion by 1961, but that's why I was asking. Wiping was not a thing. Still is.
Don't wipe.
Don't ever
wipe. I think they did it in... Well, they did it in more clever ways.
I mean, they did it later in Star Wars, but that was just so it could look like Hidden Fortress.
That scene where, So he goes and saves the wife. Remember that?
Oh, right. It's like, yeah, just let the captives walk around freely.
Huh?
Right? They were both captured.
Who was both?
There was the one guy from the one clan and then the wife of the other guy.
No.
No?
No.
Have that wrong?
No, the wife that the one... Like, the guy, he built a hut just to be next to her, because it was his wife. The heads of the clan, one of the clan's headsmen, stole this guy's wife and just kept her.
And there was the exchange afterwards.
Yes.
That's what I was talking about.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, but then she's in the one, because Yojimbo's go, or whatever, the dude goes, and he's like, he goes and, he's like, oh, let's go check on it, you know? And then he's like, oh, you know, this isn't going to be enough guards. And he goes and checks on it. And then he's like, tells the other guy, he's like, you got to go. They're all dead. And he goes and he runs. And then, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
And then he goes and he just kills all of them. And then he's like, here you go, you're free. And then, the guy.
And he adjusts his man bun right after, like, one-shotting all six of them.
Yeah. Wait, he adjusts his man bun?
Yes, he was just like, after just...
Yeah. And then, I don't know, it's kind of, what's up with the guy? There's the guy, and he's like, get out of here, and then he goes in there, and he goes back, he goes inside and, like, roughs it all up, makes it look like there's a conflict, and he comes back out, and then the guy and his wife are still there, and he's like, get the fuck out of here, I just saved you, get out of here. And then they're just like, oh, thank you. They're kind of stupid. And then later on, the guy writes the note to him that gets him caught.
Right. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Thoughts? Any thoughts?
Fuck that guy?
That's a very clever house design that they had afterwards where they caught him. Where they had like a raised crawl space.
Such a man, Jeff.
Oh yeah,
that the cell floor that where he was crawling through it.
That allowed him to
escape. Yeah.
Yeah.
But very, very practical building design.
Yeah.
You know who designs buildings like that? Serial killers.
Santa.
And Santa.
I'm just the same thing.
He would be the most prolific.
If death or presence, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really clever how he plays them again. He makes himself, desirable. And they both want him, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, he's this crazy rogue. Shows up into town and makes himself known and wanted.
And just really, know. So you just got this, basically you got a bunch of thugs. Two factions, thugs, and you got this guy. He's a badass, basically. He's willing to go into danger. Right. You know? Doesn't fear death, sort of. And he's also pretty smart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hilarity ensues.
One might think that such a man could do more. I don't know, maybe not in this time, though.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want to do more.
Yeah,
maybe this is how he gets his jollies. This is how he gets his kicks.
Is he like a Ronin? He's like a Ronin.
He is a Ronin.
He's just wandering around. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go on, Jeff. I know you have odd things, notes.
You got any...
I forget what half of these apply to.
Give me one.
Okay,
and I'll figure out.
I have affirmative action with a question mark written down.
Let's not address that.
Right, right.
No,
and
no.
Handicapped Samurai written down.
That would be a cool movie.
There was no Handicapped Samurais.
Right.
You were just thinking that would be.
But
a good
both
movie.
Of them.
that's an idea. He's like a character of Samurai.
But both of them. The pistol wielding antagonist and the.
Who's the only guy?
Oh yes, I know.
Right. Also Mifune, both always have their arms in their shirts, and it makes them look like
they're
armless.
I always wonder, did I miss his arms getting cut off, and he doesn't give a fuck in the last scene?
No, right.
Because they're the only other samurai in there was the one guy that ran away at the beginning.
Right. Yep.
So maybe it's a samurai thing.
Could be a samurai thing.
It's like they're like, yeah, this is how you let people know you're a samurai. You just fucking put
just like now, like you stick your hand behind your shirt if you're packing a gun, you know?
Right. Or if it's cold,
you're packing your guns, like your weapons, your arms, you know, and your sword is in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all hidden, but it's all ready.
Not really, because your swords are out here.
Well,
so you'd have to take your hands out to grab your swords.
I don't know how those things are wrapped around though, because he could possibly just kind of slip out.
He's got to have. They have some rope, some belt around their waist. Something.
Yeah,
it's like a sash that goes around 12 times, and it wraps one and it wraps one. But it's not wrapping the sword; it's wrapping the scabbard.
But if it was hidden like that, how are you supposed to practice your? A mote no lie. Whatever that is, it's one of the basics of sword drawing, apparently.
Okay.
Look at this. This is all sword drawing shit.
I'm sure there's
plenty. I've got a whole book on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. This is the one with the you where your hands direct the point.
Oh, right. That's the suicide stance.
Or something like that. Like use your other hand is like.
So the purpose of that stance where you have got the sword up above your head pointed at the person is mm-hmm. All right, my body's completely open. You're gonna stab me, but I'm gonna stab you too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of that stance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'll take a stab and you'll get a stab.
Right. We're gonna kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And that's okay. And usually you would do that if you know you can't win.
Yeah.
Very, very honorable.
Yeah, it's quite honorable.
Well, they're just fucking stupid. You can just run away and then just firebomb them.
Yeah,
that's not honorable.
It's not honorable, but, I mean, you know. Good thing that's not part of our culture.
We'd be very bad.
Yeah. Neither are sword duels.
That's true.
Hey, but, dude... A sword duel in modern day America should be a sword duel to the death should be
legal
if you both sign a consent form.
Sure.
Yeah. Legal laws are confusing.
Right. Fuck it. If both people, you know, want a duel to the death, then they should be able to.
I assume if two people got themselves in a situation, they're both assholes in that situation.
Right.
And it therefore kind of deserved to die within that situation.
Right. It should be, there should be a third party notary, yeah. You know, so yeah. It's not just keep like some.
Keep it smart.
Some PDF'd shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to kill someone in a duel and then forge their document. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's not go there.
Well, that's why it's got to be public.
Of course. I have no beefs with dueling. Dueling is great. Dueling is a way for two assholes to kill one asshole.
That would have been amusing, watching Hillary and Trump duel. Like
they would have both fucked it up. Not either they would die, or both of them would have shot themselves in the face. Like, that's right. What would have happened. I don't see two fucking idiots.
It would have went off and got in Trump's pocket. Hillary, like, but had a cop.
I wanted it to go off my pocket. She's just like, guns are just like penises. I don't like penises. Like, penises are always slipping in the ladies. Yes, that's what would happen.
Something like the essentials of spike throwing. Okay. We know shuriken.
So the fortress opens up, right?
Yes.
Is there an opening scene?
Are we moving on to Hidden Fortress now? Yes. The Hidden Fortress opens up in a desert with two men, one smaller, one tall, and they're kind of bickering, like in another scene in another famous movie called My Fair Lady.
Hmm.
No, it wasn't that movie. It was Star Wars Episode 4, which was later, or maybe was it 5 or 4? New Hope is 4 or 5.
New Hope is 4.
It was later branded that, though. When it came out, it was just Star Wars, New Hope. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if Star Wars. I don't know that it was Star Wars.
No. On the original, it says Episode 4.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Look it up. It does not. In all the movies, and like a little bit later, and all the reprints that happened.
No, I'm talking about the sequels. Scrolling.
Andy, you've never seen an original copy of the movie because they didn't have it. It didn't say Episode 4. They put that in after.
Oh.
No, I fucked up. It's the other way. It's the
New Hope. It's the New Hope that was that.
No, I'm saying a New Hope.
No, I'm saying you're saying it wasn't. It was never Episode 4.
It is Episode 4. I'm just saying.
You're saying originally it wasn't Episode
4. Well, originally I was thinking that they added it after they decided that Empire was going to be Episode 6. But now I'm starting to think I might be thinking of something else. Because now I'm thinking that I remember the story was they chose Episode 4 at random. That was the story. And they were like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, there's three episodes we can do later. The idea was like to build tension, like, let's just assume that a lot of shit has happened. We'll call this Episode 4. But I'm also remembering that in that conversation, that was something that they did later. And when they were like, well, now that there's sequels, how are we gonna brand it? And they're like, we'll make episodes. And like, let's not, but then they're like, but let's not do Episode 1, let's start at 4. Because that's just weird and artsy to do. But I don't know
if I thought these were books. I always thought they were not books.
They were not books to begin with.
I know Shadows of the Empire was a book.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of Star Wars books after the fact. And there were a lot of people who seemed to believe that there were Star Wars books before the movie, but there was not. And I was very convinced when I first said that little first bit that I just watched something that said that, but I could be wrong. Anyway, but the scene when it opens up is exactly like the scene in A New Hope, with wipes and all, where R2-D2 and C-3PO are walking through the desert. And this movie, A New Hope, borrows visually heavily from Hidden Fortress. But here's the ticket, you know, it borrows visually. Not so much story-wise. There's a little there. Mm-hmm. You could kind of cling to.
Yeah, I read this article, and it's very misleading because it said that. It said it's...
A lot of people say that, I've seen both, and I don't see...
I mean, there's a princess.
There's a princess in a lot of fucking movies, yeah. You know? And it's clear that he visually borrowed from this movie, and he might have also been like, I like the idea of a princess, but he wasn't like, and there's going to be this space fortress, and then they're going to be trying to dig for space gold in the space fortress, and then the two guys are going to, C-3PO's not going to know that there is gold
because he moved it. In Star Wars, the princess is captured immediately.
Right.
And it's, in Hidden Fortress, she's not captured until the fucking end.
Point being is it's different enough where it shouldn't even be an issue to me. Where it shouldn't come up in that pejorative way, like, hey, A New Hope is so much like Hidden Fortress. It's like, well, yeah, clearly he was, like, inspired by it and used certain visual nods to it. But it's different enough where, I mean, it's fucking space, okay?
Instead of feudal Japan.
You could say he borrowed things for all three Star Wars movies.
I mean, you could also say...
All three of the originals, because, like, at the end of the original third one, they were all, Ewoks were all dancing around the fire and shit, right. And they were doing that in this movie.
Yeah.
I think he's continually pulling from the well of like cool Akira Kurosawa visuals. Like it would be stupid to do that to steal them. What he was clearly doing was George Lucas. I mean, who I'm not like. It sounds like I'm like defending coming to his like aid, but I'm not. I don't really even care that much about George Lucas. I just think like, you know, yeah. It makes sense for a director to admire another director and then be like, I want to make
an homage.
I want a homage.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fucking homage. Say it. You don't
it's
have to.
It's an homage.
You don't have to be like inspired by Kurosawa.
It's an homage.
It's an homage.
Say it with me.
Homage. It's an homage. It's an homage.
Okay.
It's an homage. And it's fine. But yeah, no, it's clearly different. Yeah, but it does that opening scene where he was probably sitting there thinking, how am I going to open A New Hope? What's the scene I want? He's probably like, Hidden Fortress has a good opening. I could borrow that.
And well, I mean, Star Wars opened up with, like, some spaceships.
Well, it opened up with spaceships and then the text.
No, it was text, then the spaceships.
And then it cuts the desert.
And then, R2. No.
Yes, it does. It happens early in A New Hope.
No. That happens early, but there's the whole scene on the ship where the...
Yeah, there's a scene on the ship, but then
with,
after
with
that,
the stormtroopers invade the ship, no, Darth Vader
comes in.
He gives
the message to
and she gives
R2.
Them the message, and they jump on the escape pod, and then they're in the desert.
Yeah, then they're in the desert.
Okay. Yeah. And that scene's a visual nod, and the use of wipes in A New Hope. Though he uses them the exact same way Akira Kurosawa does. But at that time, people weren't using wipes in film, especially not in America, so...
Yeah, wipes are cool.
Wipes can be very cool if you know
you
how to
bring them back.
If you know when to do them. I'm sure there are movies that try to bring it back.
Just wipe every scene.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a big epic scene and you're switching to it's more of like a tension building device, but it looks cool. It can look cool, and it looks silly later on, like Orson Welles. Citizen Kane is a very modern, like, just normal cuts and sort of fade cuts. But then when they recut Magnificent Ambersons, they added a bunch of wipes because that's just what they were doing at the time. But it didn't make sense
Austin
in that
Powers.
Context. Did they use wipes in Austin Powers?
Well, it was more like...
They used bumpers.
I guess that's the word for it.
Bumpers.
I think that's the word
for it. Yeah, they did.
Because they would just be like some tie-dye shit and people dancing around.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
It's a wipe.
So
it's a bumper.
So after things are, like, cool and cutting edge, they later become, like, fodder for...
Parody.
Yeah, makes sense.
Satire.
The lowest form of parody. Parody is the lowest
parody,
form of
parody, then also potential material for, like, retro.
Oh, cool retro. Or I think that you could probably find cool ways to do that. I mean, I'm sure that people have done it in subtle ways that I didn't even really notice.
What was that movie that was, like...
Black Hawk Down.
No.
Zero
it was like
30.
One continuous shot, and it sort of used
Birdman.
Wipes.
Birdman,
there we go.
Yeah, they used a number of tricks.
And it was like sort of wipey, but it wasn't quite. It was just like a rotation.
Like a shot. There was no scene transitions.
But the scene transitions were like it would stop on a wall, and it would obviously be that the camera would kind of, you just stop the camera on that wall, and you start the next recorder on that wall. But that instance of that wall, you kind of tell that that's where the cut is. You know, you can't actually see the cut happen, but you can say, based on where it is and when it happens, that would be the place that they would have to do the
cut.
Okay,
but there was no wipes, because that would be obvious.
No, there were not wipes. There were not wipes, but there were transitional moments.
Right, and that sort of that's what reminded me is sort of like a modern wipe, is that you zoom in on something, or you put the camera focus on an object, and then the other scene starts happening almost in parallel.
Yeah. I don't know if
or sequentially, rather.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of, like, invisible editing and, like... And then you get the idea of, like, continual editing and, I just don't know if that's going to be a thing. Like,
I have a question. How did they get the gold in the sticks?
That is a great question. They must have taken the sticks apart, sawed them apart quite carefully, and then put the gold in,
back together.
Use the type of glue, I would imagine.
Did they
waterproof
grow
glue.
Trees that way?
They grew trees that
grew
way.
Grew some trees and
that
put
is
the
an
gold
old
there.
Family. It had to be an old family if they must have been a daimyo. Is that the right word for a ruling house in feudal Japan? Right.
Not necessarily a house, just like the lord.
Right. So that must have been a long-term lord, right?
Yeah.
Because they would have had to be indistinguishable from other sticks. right?
I guess so.
They would have had to grow it around it. You know these Japanese guys, they got an eye for fucking detail. That's for damn sure.
It is.
Okay.
They must
have. I mean, that's right? The only
logical, you know, way for this they didn't to have happen. Glue. Like, actual, like, to adhere to real world physics, they would have had to have, like, been growing some trees and put gold there and let the tree grow around the gold. But.
But a no, branch but grow wouldn't grow around.
They could just
the
crack
gold.
It and pull the thing out. If a tree grew around a piece of gold,
it would just
it would be
wrap
like,
around it.
You would have to like cut the shit a bunch of times to get it off there. You know, you couldn't.
Well, they
snap
definitely
it and
didn't.
Pull
the
it
tree
off.
They didn't. It definitely didn't grow around the gold because he put the gold in there, right?
Well, but how? Trees grow trees yes, grow right. around shit all the time.
I know, yeah. But that's not okay. But. Okay,
but does shit grow inside the branch?
No.
Right. Okay, they could have sliced it open. Ooh, sliced open a living sapling, put the gold inside of it, and then taped it back.
No,
this
is like
how
a
about,
pocket.
No, you just grab branches, and you just go, you kind of go like, bam, you kind of split it a little bit, and you fucking shove it in there.
No, because if you do that, then the tree is growing tightly around whatever that thing is. They would break a stick... And pull it out as if there was like a pocket inside the stick,
which it seems like wait. There was some waterproof glue happening. And
yeah.
Wait. Say that. Well, I'm sorry.
So they would break the stick and then just pull the piece of gold out of the stick. But if a piece of anything, gold or whatever, was like actually grown inside of a tree or you know a branch of a tree, like it would be.
I know.
The tree
I
would be completely hugging every
okay,
inch
your,
of it.
Your
like
point
every...
is retorting what I said, because I said that that's not what happened. I said they just took branches, just random branches.
Uh-huh.
Because do you ever see a tree? But they're like, oh,
no.
It's a tree, and it has gold in it, and it's living. No, they never do that. They're just random branches.
So when, sticks at that point.
Yeah, they're just sticks. Exactly. They're just sticks, and they just they look for one. You can kind of like, maybe it's got a hole in it, or you can split it a little bit. And you just shove those in there because the pieces of gold are like long and slender. You just gotta find big sticks and you just stick them in there. Right? Isn't the most
well, you have to
isn't
hollow
that the most
it out.
Obvious
that's
conclusion?
Not how wood works.
You have to hollow it out then. It's dense. Yeah, it's solid.
No, so it's a fucking stick. You fucking split it open a little bit and just put something thin and
yeah,
slender.
Yeah, but then that's a broken stick.
Yeah, these
but it
broken.
Doesn't matter. It's only broken just enough to put
you'd
something in
there.
You'd
have to split it lengthwise and then stick it in.
Yeah,
and then
how could you be sure it would stay in then?
Right.
You'd have to... It looked to me like they were implying that these sticks were at one point disassembled and glued back together. Or, I don't know, hooked back together.
I think they were just implying
that
it was like fucking magic or something.
I don't know if they're...
I think he was implying that these are just random sticks that he shoved... fucking thin, slender piece of metal into.
Right, but he left them in a fucking spring in the water. Like,
I would
that'd
love
be fairly
to see
securely
you do that
in there.
With any stick.
Right. It would just,
you choose the stick. You choose the material you're going to put in it.
You could totally find a stick. I'm not saying that you're going to find a lot of sticks.
There was a lot of fucking sticks.
Yeah, there was.
That's not the point. No. Your challenge was to just find one stick. I can fuck... You give me enough time, I'll find a stick that you can put
okay.
something with those dimensions in.
10
Yo,
minutes.
I can too. You one stick, you can give me enough time, I can look around anywhere, I'm going to find a stick that has a fucking hole in it that I can fucking put a thin piece of metal in. You fucking, what the fuck? Obviously. I'm not going to be able to find a 200.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you will.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
I really don't think
you
will.
That. Have you never seen a fucking a big branch with a fucking
nope,
like,
I've never
a hole
seen
in there?
A branch.
Like,
no.
The way they okay, whatever. Fine.
I don't think
you
can find one.
They could have got they did it a different way. Okay, so they found already the dead wood and they poured molten gold.
That's
into
smart.
It.
Yeah.
Jeepers. We didn't.
But
not
how did
think
they get
that.
Their
stamp
their
on
it?
All you
stamp
gotta
on.
Do
uh-huh.
the one. It's fucked up.
Nah. It was a stamp.
Ah, shut up.
But that would be the way to do it. Fill the holes.
Totally, yeah.
Fill the void. Make a slim hole. Something.
You're good to go.
With the gold.
Absolutely.
And it'd have to be very cold wood.
But then, like, if you're making the thing, like, it would be a shoddy thing. They wouldn't look as nice, obviously. Unless you were, I don't know, if you have a master. They probably have, like, master builder
guys.
But
they could. You know? They could. Okay, take a sapro. Okay, this is how I envision
take
it.
Take a sapro.
Take a sapro.
Saprin.
Right, sapling. Sapling.
Take a saprin!
Okay, so cut it right at the top. Right, but not all the way. And make like a banana peel out of it. Put the gold
something
in.
Something biodegradable that would make a pocket.
Right, well, put the metal in. Take out, put the slices back up. Wrap it tight. And then let it grow.
I got it.
Something that's going to...
I've got it.
Yeah.
I have it. Listen. You use it's like a sword.
A condom.
It's like a sword. It's like a sword, okay? But it's not a sword. It's like this. It also has a depression in the sword and a button on the top. So you stick that into the wood, and then you press the button, and it puts the family crest inside the wood. You pull the button again so that it goes back into the fucking sword thing, and then you pull it out, and you have the depression in there. You pour the molten gold in there. You have the family seal
wait.
On the gold.
Can you explain this again?
I will never explain this pill. Again.
So, because I make what you said
in pill out of wood, and put that in, and then like you. All right, so you make a pill-shaped thing out of wood, put gold in it, and then put that on a growing piece of wood. And then it grows around that pill-shaped thing, and then it's.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna grow around the pill because it's solid wood.
You gotta.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Mangle it.
It goes around, okay, but it doesn't
grow over and through it. Mark.
Like a tree doesn't have shit inside.
Mark. Okay, yeah, because he just gave you an idea with what he said. Okay, here's the thing. What you just said, I got the same idea, but here's a different. You don't even need to put a pill in there. You could have like a hose thing. So then as the tree goes around it, you can just put shit in there whenever you want.
Yeah.
And then you take it out and then do something with the opening, I guess.
By the way, these are the things all the characters in the movie were talking about. Yes, we're hoarding.
How do they get the wood in these goddamn sticks all the time? And they just sat there talking about it for an hour and a half. Written by Kevin Smith.
Literally nobody gave a fuck. About how the gold got in the sticks.
Well, yeah.
Right, that would have been the most mind-blowing thing to me.
At the end of the movie, someone just comes on screen in a suit and is just like, here's how the gold, you know, you're all wondering. Just here's how it's possible.
Or maybe one of the characters, like, when they're like,
I like the host
how the fuck did this gold get in these sticks? How the fuck did you put these in here?
Well, they could just, one expositional scene, it would take 1 minute, they could have explained it.
Or, but what about when the rival factors in there? I forget the names of them. What about when they figured out, like, oh, we're looking for gold that's hidden in firewood? Like, how the fuck did they figure that out? And why were they like, sure, yeah, we'll look for gold in firewood instead of, like, the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, wait. How did they figure that out?
I don't remember.
So, initially...
Oh, they...
Because they were crossing that one bridge.
Did the two peasant guys, like... let it out because they were fucking ridiculous.
Oh, no,
at one point he did escape to the town to rat on the woman, but he never said anything because she had already been beheaded. Right. But even at that point, like, man, I don't know, it wouldn't make sense, though, if he would have mentioned it at that point.
Not at all at that point, because they wanted all the gold and
they
were digging.
I thought
it
seemed consistent. I was like, yeah, okay.
But there was, because he paid
there's a fucking thing.
He paid the sergeant guy the gold piece to go past the bridge as a toll, right?
Yeah, but then as they left, then the guy comes up on the horse and he's like, we're looking for like three men and a woman, and they're like a horse or something.
Right. But when he gave that guy the gold, he said, I found one stick and it had gold in it.
Right.
And he broke the stick open and gave him the gold. So that's how that happened.
Okay.
That's how that got spread around.
Right.
So that was dumb on his part. He could have just said, I found some fucking gold. So why did he do that?
You're one of the two guys, you know, the two simpleton peasant guys.
Dipshit idiots.
And you break open a stick and you find some fucking gold in it. And then you find another one and you're like, holy shit. So you start breaking all these sticks looking for gold, and then some guy comes and is like, ha ha ha, you know, you're working for me now, we're gonna find all this gold. There's 200 pieces of it. Start digging.
No.
What are we digging for? Sticks?
Well, they're not very bright.
They're not. They're clearly not.
But they are, because they came up with the plan to, like, go through the other
territory. That was the only thing, and that guy hears it.
No, I feel like there was one more where they were...
Bright, but they're not, like, their greed gets in the way of their intelligence.
Yeah.
Oh, every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the he's just like, all right, yeah, this is where the gold is. Dig for it. They're like, well, okay.
Speaking of that plan, well, also the guy's like, he's like ordering them around, and they're right. They're like kind of pussies, so they're like, oh.
But also, okay, their plan. Their plan is a way to circumvent the border, and mm-hmm. I feel like just from his experience and who he is, he wouldn't think of that because he's like, there's a border. You just go the fuck through it and kill everyone who gets in your way. That's what I would do. So these guys who are inherently sneaky by being peasants because they have to sneak their way through life to get anything, to get
Pat's
food.
Alpha.
To, I, Omega. Anyway, no, so these peasants who have to sneak their whole lives just to get basic sustenance, they think of shit like this, like, oh, well, we could just circumvent that border by going through an easier border and then go over here and then we're good.
Okay.
So that's why he was so impressed by it, because he was like, he was probably thinking like, oh, when I get there, I'll just use brute force and fuck it. Like, I'll get through.
So wait, speaking of that plan, what are the name of the factions? There's the faction of the Anunnaki. Samurai and the princess is like the Azuki.
Azuki, I think, is right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then
Azuki.
Azuki.
Azuki. Yeah.
And then so they were the Crescent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's all I remember.
Akazuki. And then,
Yamana.
Yep, Yamana.
Yamana clan, Akazuki, and so they wanted to go through the,
And then what was the one...
They wanted to go to the... through the Yamana. Because Yamana that was the enemy.
Evil one.
Yeah, that was the enemy, so they were going through that one.
And they wanted to get to Hayakawa.
Yeah. There we go.
Right.
Cool.
So they were going through the enemy's land because the borders to the enemy's land were more open because they're trying to keep the border between their recently conquered land to the free land.
Mm-hmm.
So just skirt all around that. And then
you know what I just saw?
I like the horses at the end. Yeah, that was fun.
I just want to say this thought before we move on. So there's a box right there that says crock pot. So you say like you have a crack pot, right? And then you also have you're full of crock. Wait, what's how do you use that term? Crock? Right? You know what I'm talking about?
There's cra, and then there's crocs, like the foot material.
Never mind. I'm thinking of something else.
Cra is like your gullet.
Do you use like the term croc to like you're full of croc?
It's a croc of shit.
What
a croc.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
What is a croc?
It's a croc.
So here's exactly. Thank you. Well, someone who knows
it's
something.
It's shortened for a croc of shit. So think crock pot. Think of it being full of shit.
Yeah, right. Crock pot. But here's the thing. If you look at the two words of crock pot, you got croc, and then you have crack pot, and they both mean the same thing.
Weird.
Sort of.
What?
Well, croc of shit, and then crack
pot.
Oh, well,
crack
full of shit.
And crock pot.
No, crack pot. A crack pot, and then like crock of shit.
But a crack pot won't hold water. Is that something? Ooh. That might be something.
With the memes.
Is that a meme?
No, I don't know.
I don't think that's a meme.
It's not a meme.
I just think that's why you call someone a crackpot. I'm trying to figure out a reason you would call someone a crackpot. Because it can't be like...
Well, crackpot's like crackpot. People, someone like believes in conspiracy theories and stuff.
Yeah, bullshit. I mean, you know, that's why... That's
somebody who leaks.
No. That's not what we call... He didn't leak our documents. He's a crackpot. That's not what happened.
Okay.
Unless you're trying to like defame the person who leaked the data.
To Russia.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put the gold in the
Hidden Fortress. Mifune played a badass again.
Like every time, and well, not every time, because if we had watched Seven Samurai.
Right. Yeah. He's not a badass. He's like an idiot.
He's an idiot samurai, and he's not even really a samurai. He's the one who's trying to say
he's not a samurai.
Right. Not really. But he redeems himself somehow by the end of it. I don't remember exactly how.
Yeah, in Rashomon, everyone's a piece of shit. That's the kind of the moral.
He's not completely like incapable or like incompetent. Like he's good at fighting, you know.
Not like these two.
No. Well.
They're only good at using greed to take advantage of them.
Yeah. Their main thing is that they figured out the border situation. Other than that, they were pretty consistently fucking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they let that guy, like, fucking just work. I mean, by the end of the movie, the only reason they could carry the sticks was because he had worked them in the mountain digging for gold that wasn't there for so long. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would have been fucking useless. He was using them as pack mules.
Yeah.
And he was beefing them up by exercise.
I thought they would have... he would have had all this garbage sticks.
I mean, I'm sure
most of it was garbage sticks.
Because, there was only 200 pieces of gold, and you're thinking one piece of gold per stick, and each person was probably carrying 50 sticks.
Right.
There was six bundles, so that's like 300 sticks, but that's still more sticks with gold than there
was. I feel like there were dummy sticks. Anyway, earlier I was thinking this. I was thinking, how long did he have to sit there to wait for two idiots to find the gold? Then I realized I'm the idiot, because he planted the gold in the first place, obviously. So he's following them around. He's like, here's two idiots. I'm just, one day they're going to be doing shit, and they're going to find this gold, and then I'll be there, and, like, you know.
It wasn't his plan to, like, use them at all.
Yeah, I don't think it was his plan.
He was going to kill them. He was going to, like...
You think so?
Yeah, he was going to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah, he said that because when he was talking to the princess...
He was going to get rid of them until he was like, oh, that's fucking really smart. That's a great idea.
It was just serendipity that it worked out that way. Okay, yeah. I got it.
And he was like, all right, well, we'll just use them. And, like, he was, like, led him to the fortress. And he was like, yeah, here, take here. You know, and he's... Mm-hmm.
Hide the stones amongst stones and the men amongst men.
What does that mean? I remember them saying it.
Hiding in plain sight. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
When they went into the town and then she got all butthurt that one of her clansmen were getting sold as a slave.
Clanswoman.
Yeah. Clanswoman. Sorry. Yeah.
Clanswomen.
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 We be clanswomen. Yeah. That situation was interesting with the woman,
mm-hmm.
with the other woman.
The women.
And just the general persona of the princess I thought was interesting because she's this badass.
Fucking weird.
She always talked. She was like fucking just pissed off all the time.
You think you're smart? You're not smart, you're a man. Like that all the time. But mm-hmm.
But heard the sound of her voice, like the timbre. Yeah,
was the timbre. I think it was as far as I remember. Not.
It was high-pitched kind of like... Always yelling.
It was like anime princess.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah.
All of these Kurosawa films like set the stage for like high-end anime.
Yeah. Is there an American equivalent to this? Maybe.
John Wayne.
No. Like that character
would be like John.
Speaking of anime,
westerns.
There's an anime of Seven Samurai. What's called Samurai 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
No.
I don't think I have.
I've seen like an episode or something. I
didn't watch it all, but I was around when somebody watched it all.
Rob?
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch this.
There's also like a newer Netflix one. Seven Deadly Sins. I'm trying to find the similarities, and there's really. It's kind of similar.
What are you talking about?
There's an anime on Netflix called Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah, but that's like. There's just the Seven Deadly Sins. Like, there's a movie Seven. It has nothing to do with Seven Samurai. I know. Okay. But I'm just saying that's a whole different theme. Are you saying this is based on Seven Samurai?
No.
And it's just called Seven
Deadly Sins. There is a lot of very similar themes because there's a town.
Okay.
There's this invading force of like demons or whatever they are. I don't fucking remember, but
Okay.
It's definitely influenced by it.
Do they have distasteful undergarments?
Yeah, they're all each of them are like a character. So the seven deadly sins are people.
You know, speaking of seven deadly sins, I've never actually seen the entire, like, seven.
It's great.
I know. I've seen bits of it. I've never seen the whole thing.
It's really intense. Oh, really?
I'm going to watch that as well.
David Fincher just makes me feel icky every time I see something by him, even Alien 3.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? And it's just cupcakes. No. But, yeah, no. David Fincher movies are excellent. He's just one of those, like, big Hollywood directors I actually like. You know, like how most people like Christopher Nolan, but he's a piece of shit. I like David Fincher that way.
I like Christopher Nolan.
I don't.
Why not?
I do not like him. I just think he makes subpar movies. I think he makes mediocre.
Yeah, there's something about them. They're not quite there, but I think they're good. What was the one about the magic in Tesla?
Oh.
That one was pretty good. You've got to admit that one was
Prestige.
Prestige. That was pretty good.
It was pretty good, but so like... I never thought Dark Knight was, like, this great movie. I thought it was, like, I liked the Prestige. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, the Dark Knight, really what made the Dark Knight amazing was Heath Ledger.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you gotta give someone props. You gotta give respect to someone who dies for a role.
Yeah, you could put it that way in the sense that he was so deep into it and taking drugs and stuff. And sometimes that's what you gotta do. Like, to do something right, you gotta get the right chemicals to do it. And that's what he did. Right. I don't know how the timeline plays. I don't know if he would happen to be taking the right chemicals already for the role. Then he gets the role.
He's like, this is perfect.
He's like, this is perfect. I'm just doing more of this. Mind. He's like, I've been just thinking about evil shit for weeks, and I've just been sitting in my room. This is great. Yeah, it could be that. And now Joaquin Phoenix is playing the Joker, which is like, I feel like they're just like, who's a loose cannon we can pick? And I don't think he's the right choice at all. Because he's a great actor, but I think they're trying to like, to recapture the weirdness they found with Heath Ledger, which no one could have predicted, because Heath Ledger was fucking a Knight's Tale.
I think Heath Ledger, before that movie.
I think he was doing some like different stuff. He did like Brokeback Mountain before that.
He was getting there.
Yeah.
He was hitting his stride, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and he happened to die at the when it really got going.
Yeah,
but he didn't. He never. You can't say he reached his peak.
Right.
That was the beginning.
No,
Brokeback Mountain might have been like the early inklings that there might be
like
something.
It's like the Nirvana.
There's more than just this pretty boy.
Jake Gyllenhaal too, who also seems has something as an actor in later movies like Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler is pretty cool.
Good movie. Like weird 80s nostalgia, but kind of not because it doesn't take place in the 80s. No. It's cool. It's a cool vibe. I like it.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, and so both those guys were in that, and both of them kind of turned out that way. But yeah, I don't think Heath Ledger was just showing himself to be a good actor at that time, and a really not just a good actor. Let's say maybe a potentially great actor. We can't say he was a great actor because he did one role great.
Right.
But that's a good indication.
Potentiation.
That he could
do
it again.
I kind of want to look at his disc. His
discography.
His discography.
That's a whole other story. That's good.
I feel like he was in a few that were like really good.
I don't remember any others really, but it could just maybe I didn't see them. But I definitely remember him being in A Knight's Tale, and I remember.
Yeah, I feel like there was something. There was some. He had some other good roles or something.
I mean, Brokeback Mountain was a big deal. I've never seen.
I never.
Ten
saw
Things
that.
I Hate About You. He was in the. Patriot, but
he was kind of hot in 10 Things.
That role wasn't that great, but
he was kind of hot in 10 Things I Hate About You. Like, as a straight male, I kind of was like, if I was not that, that's exactly
anything.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
No, I'm telling. See, I was right. Dark Knight was his like first real breakout thing, and he happened to die after because he wasn't getting the right shit.
Well, so I think Brokeback Mountain was his breakout thing where people were like, all right, he's not this typecast type of person. He can do other stuff. And then Dark Knight, it was like, oh, wow, this is really fucking impressive.
Yeah, it's especially weird that he chose, like, a comic book role to go all out on.
But, and what was great about it was, like, I don't think the Joker had ever been portrayed like that.
No.
Like,
but if you read...
Man.
The earliest Joker comics, I mean, the way the Joker acts is not like that, no. But the idea of the Joker is essentially that. That he's just chaos manifest in a human being. And if you wanted to say, well, how would chaos manifest in a human being act like a guy? That's how he would act. I think he thought about it for a good while, about what the Joker was and what he meant and what he stood for. And then he thought about, well, how would you actually play that? And he was the first guy to do it. So, yeah.
Good. I'm trying to figure out these conversion rates for old Japanese money.
That's why you're here. I'm not doing that.
Mm. Old Japanese money?
Yeah. I made a note that says, like, Kan and Ryu conversion rates. Mm. Apparently, 4 Kan is 1 Ryu.
Okay.
But 1 Kan is 3.75 kilograms of Mon, which is copper?
No, it wasn't really anything. Okay. Yeah.
That's right, Kan.
I sworn there was.
Yo, if you're going to take this class with me, but you're not.
Knight's Tale,
you know.
I didn't see that.
This guy is a super Star Trek nerd.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like...
You know what this is?
There's more,
but... Mandela Effect.
Ryu?
What? Exchange rates, or...?
I don't know.
Heath Ledger?
I don't care about exchange rates.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just Heath Ledger, I think it's interesting. What happened to him?
You know, I remember when I saw Dark Knight in the theaters, and I was on mushrooms.
That's why you think it's good. No, I'm just kidding. It was good. I saw it too. Not
it was pretty good.
No, I actually didn't. I didn't really retain much of what happened.
I thought it was good in that it just really, I mean, more so than Batman, it just established what the Joker character was and
right.
What that could mean. And you had to think about it in the same way you kind of had to think about a character like Shigur in No Country.
Those were the last like good DC movies, and that's because they were being edgy.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Nobody's doing that now.
No, they're not
that's
doing
not
that
a thing people want to see. Or, I mean, that's not a thing executives want to see.
Right.
Because I think Wonder Woman did do well.
I heard that was good, but I haven't seen it.
So I watched it, and it was good in a way as... It was as good as it could be given what it was. I guess, which was a superhero movie, and a standard one at that.
It sounds sounds like it wasn't as good as it could have been.
It wasn't as good. I don't think it was as good as people thought it was.
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
But. Well, it could have been edgier.
Could have been edgier. I mean, that's to say, like,
these movies could be fucking great. Any movie could be great.
But not just if it was edgy. I mean,
that's not true. But
I would like it more.
But you could throw some edgy in there.
A lot of superhero movies could be fucking really good.
Well,
it depends on the type of edginess, because Deadpool, I don't think that kind of shit is not funny to me. That's not my humor, though.
I've never seen any of the
Deadpool haven't seen movies. It, but that's because I've seen clips of it, and the jokes were very much like these, like, quippy, like, Family Guy-like jokes.
Yeah, but you can't judge the whole movie, because the way they're, like, you're going to see the clips, you're seeing the trailers, they're purposely...
And then also the people who come up to me who are like, you got to see Deadpool, it's hilarious. I'm looking at that person, I'm thinking, no, I don't. Every time.
Do you watch the Avengers movies?
The Avengers movies? I do not like any of them.
They're fucking... They're pretty good.
They're not good.
I just don't like...
Have you seen the Super...
I've seen Infinity War.
Did you see Thor Ragnarok?
I haven't. That looks good, but I haven't seen it.
That's actually...
I can usually tell when they're going to be good, and I thought that would probably...
So Thor Ragnarok is actually... I think Thor Ragnarok is better than Infinity War.
Infinity War was not good. Infinity War was way too long. Way too much shit going on.
Infinity War is, I think, could have been better. I still think it was pretty decent, but just because they like built up to it for so long, and there's all this stuff going on, you know. But Thor Ragnarok was fucking awesome.
Looks good, but then again, I liked. There are Marvel movies I like. It just has to hit right. Like I liked Guardians of the Galaxy. I like, and then Guardians of the Galaxy I like too. I like, but in a completely different way. It's like I almost didn't like it as a movie as much as I like it as a part of Guardians of the Galaxy more than I like it as a movie. I guess.
Yeah.
So
I just don't like superhero movies.
Well, I don't as a rule, but I will watch them, and I will occasionally watch one that I enjoy. You know, like
I think, yeah, no, they, yeah, like you're like they can hit right, you know, and
they just hit the right cool. nerve.
Like again, like
I like The Dark Knight.
Yeah, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight was a good movie. Yeah, and I never said otherwise.
Right.
Well, Batman Begins. I liked. That. It's not like super memorable.
The one after that,
the
though, was not good. Though.
Dark Knight Rises. Meh. It was okay. I think it was okay. It wasn't like I gotta get out of here when I watched it. like I was with Infinity War. I was just like, I can't take it. It's too fucking long.
Oh, really?
There's too much bullshit happening. I just don't care. Yeah. I just couldn't get invested in it. That was the main thing.
Do you think it would have been better if you
Did you watch all the other Avengers movies up to that?
Yeah. Well, I watched Avengers, and I watched the... What's the next one?
There's like three of them before that.
Well, I watched two of them.
But then there's also like a bunch of other movies that all they all tie into it.
Yeah, right.
Because this is the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yeah. quote unquote, where they all tie into each other.
And I didn't like the Joss Whedon vibe of the first one where the people are like doing little jokes. I don't like, it's not funny to me. Like people do those like
yeah
quips. They're not, they just don't amuse me.
Yeah.
And I don't have a very good sense of humor. I think maybe not in that sense. That I don't think jokes are funny. To me, situations are funny. To me, like death as a concept is funny. And like the futility of life is funny, mm-hmm. but other things to me are not funny.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a thing.
Only death is funny to Pat.
That, well, mainly if well, the jokes about the futility of like our experience and how like mostly it's useless.
Those jokes aren't really supposed to be funny. I think they're kind of stupid and corny. And but it's like superheroes beating up people and they're like saying these things to each other. It's like they're not, no one's gonna do that.
But that's not what Avengers was like though. It was like they were a little bit like that. But also there was a scene of them sitting down with each other was kind of a weird angle, which I thought to me was like. They're just trying to do, like, a Joss Whedon angle.
Oh, like the banter stuff.
The banter stuff. But banter stuff when they're all sitting around, like talking expositional shit with jokes. Like
and my banter. Axe. Hmm.
Yeah, that stuff didn't hit for me. But a lot of stuff like that doesn't hit for me, and it hits for a lot of people. And it's just, like, a sense of humor thing. Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's, like, super dumb to me, like some things do, but it just doesn't
amuse me. I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't necessarily like most of those movies, but there's a few of them I like. So like Thor Ragnarok is really good.
That looks really good.
The first Thor I thought was good.
Didn't see it.
And
I thought it was okay.
And
I don't think I liked the first Thor.
So and Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was really cool.
I liked that one. I liked Civil War.
Yeah.
I liked that one. But what I liked about that was like,
and
Captain America was like rebelling against America. I'm quoting that. Yeah, he was rebelling against like this established system that was like American. You know,
stupid capitalism.
Right, because he was like, yeah, no, this isn't right. This is Avengers. Yeah, but so like, the other Avengers like. Sided with like S.H.I.E.L.D. and like the established government and running things, and Captain America was like, no, it doesn't matter that they're
right. You know,
the government so running things, they're doing shit an wrong. Idealist, exactly,
which a true patriot supposed to be. That's what I liked idealist. About
that. It was
yeah.
like, yeah, that
I
was good.
I mean,
they both had like really very cool. valid points. Like both right. sides, it was just like,
I think,
man,
I think America
really
pick a side.
So there was this. Well, I saw this video a few weeks ago or a couple months ago or something, and this guy is giving this speech in like Washington D.C. in front of a bunch of people, and he's going on. He's talking about how the founding fathers, these people were like, these were renegades, these were criminals.
Protest and is patriotism.
Well, these were criminals. They killed like military officers. They were wanted by the fucking. By the English, the crown,
yeah.
you know?
I don't know they're if like, at this point we should be emulating
like,
them,
like,
but...
Huh?
I don't know if at this point we should be emulating them in any respect. I don't know if they were good people.
Killing people is wrong.
Like, I think when people are like, we should base the idea
property
of what America
destruction
is based
is
on, like,
wrong.
The people who found
Sorry.
It.
Sorry.
No. This
but
has
there's
to go
certain
with...
ideas that work, but...
Well, this goes beyond America and the fact... It's not about America. It's about, first of all, people now, they're like, oh, the founding fathers are great. But back then, perception would have been totally different.
Right.
Like, oh, these guys are fucking criminals. It doesn't matter. I mean, and they're fighting for something that's right. You know, that they felt was something right.
Yeah.
Now people think it was something right after the fact. The point is that the perception is totally... Not everyone's like, these guys were great. Go back several hundred years, they're like, holy shit, these guys are fucking criminals.
Well, it depends on who's perceiving that, too. I mean, if it was like... American colonists, then maybe I mean some of them.
Some of the American colonists, not all
well,
of them. That's
obviously,
the whole point.
Yeah, they were loyalists.
Some of them were like, holy shit, these are criminals.
They were loyalists. They were. Those people were loyalists. They
yes.
were like, we came from England. We're English. That's
right.
what we are. And some of them were not like that.
But it wasn't like a black and white thing. It's a shift over time of perception.
It's not
and stuff,
a black
you know?
And white thing. But
it's one way. Then it's this way.
Also,
it's like,
think about how they got America was by just being shitty and like making shoddy deals with Native Americans and killing lots of them.
Okay, this is this is going beyond.
Sure. I'm saying they weren't
talking
good
about
people.
America. This is the whole point is not about America. It's about how what's criminal
right
in one time is later a fucking hero.
The ending of Hidden Fortress.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a Kurosawa film without a pantomime dance.
Are we talking about the fire dance or what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
the fire dance.
That was cool. That was a cool scene. No,
it was actually cool. Super well. Normally I hate shit like those sort of optics in movies. But man, that actually made me want to be there.
Yeah, it looked fun. And even the princess was getting down with the dance. Even
right.
She knew all
oh, she was the best at it.
But she never really seemed to care about the gold that much to begin with. It was more of like the people around her who were like, we got to get this gold.
Maintaining the family
princess,
line.
That's part
I mean,
of the princess
the
is having
gold's like going to burn.
That's true. She knew that.
Well, yeah, they ended up going.
They went in and got the gold out of the fire
afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, she was more concerned about her lineage. And stuff, which is... And
right, but I think maybe it was naive for the 16-year-old princess to think that gold was not important to how she would
right.
be perceived coming back, you know, yeah. with zero wealth. And apparently, I don't know how much that was worth. It would make most sense for it to have been a fucking insane fortune.
Right,
beyond
right.
anything anyone even...
Well, knew. Actually, that's
like
why
was
I was
like
looking at the conversion rate.
Decent fortune.
200 bars of gold, like...
Yeah, because they're looking
at
the conversion
time. Rate. I don't think it's going
to
tell you what.
You got to look at the conversion rate, and then you have to fucking figure out what the fuck that even means compared
yeah.
to today's money.
Right.
Man.
Well, what,
how
wait,
much
wait,
they,
wait, 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 wait.
You
got
to sit there and write a fucking, look at, fucking write a thesis, man. That's going to take you a while.
Think about this.
Right.
So, each, in the, towards the beginning, each of the peasant guys, they found 2 gold bars.
Yeah.
But they wanted more. Now, all right, they're greedy, so they want more.
It was
so
200 ryu, right?
It was 200 gold pieces,
yeah,
basically.
I don't know if they ever defined how much it was worth.
So I feel like one of them could have, like, you know, set them up very nicely, like, bought them, like, a
yeah.
land or
right.
whatever.
Got them what they needed.
Right. It would have
right
been,
away.
Like, a nice, comfortable life with, like, one gold piece.
Yeah.
But they're like, let's get more and, like,
mm-hmm.
have a lavish life.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So 200 of those is quite a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I it's a fortune.
It's enough.
It's a fortune.
To, you know, support a princess and start a kingdom and stuff like that.
Maintain an pre-existing kingdom at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the samurai played by Komurumshin, I don't remember his name.
Mifune?
Mifune, whatever. So he was this famous general, right? He seemed to think that like it was absolutely imperative that they got the gold back.
Yeah.
So
it because was because without it, then they're just like
they're
some
just
fucking
people.
People.
Yeah.
They're just
people.
Some peasants.
So
no
that,
money.
That means no. That means if that must mean 200. You're more. You're with 200 pieces of gold. You're more than a rich person. You're more than 5 rich people. You must be. Right? Because, I mean, that, if he was so concerned, was like, well, if we show up with nothing, you're not princess anymore.
I mean, it's quite a fortune.
It must, yeah. Because, I don't know, 200 gold
I mean,
bars.
I it's part of the thing. You just leave it, you know, you have this historical context where no one really knows it's going to be able to convert, unless they're like a scholar, they're going to be able to convert this money. To
no,
take
it's
money.
Not even that big of a deal. You can be a princess with 200 gold bars. You could be like a land baron, maybe. I don't know. But maybe, I don't know if they thought about it that deeply.
But I'm saying the mystery
the way it
behind
felt
it's part
me
of,
was
yeah,
like,
part of the
you know, it wasn't like a crazy fortune, but it was like
$249,000.
No.
That's
no
what it might be what they're worth today.
Yeah. Because one ryu.
Saying worth in the sense of what it's worth to that person at that time, not what it's like technically worth. What it's worth in that system to that person at that time. Like, how far it will get them.
Okay. Right. Adjusted. For that time period, $730,000.
In Japan?
One classical ryu during the Edo period.
Is worth $700,000?
No. It's worth $3,600.53.
Times 200 is 700,000.
$730,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe that's astronomical to them at that time.
Oh, well, that's astronomical to me right now.
Yeah,
right.
No, totally. $700,000, you could set yourself up for living. You could buy a shit ton of land. And
right. Then, well, I mean, well, now we live in a society where there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people with $700,000, you know. Whereas then there might have been, there were very, very, very few.
They were just ruling houses, and they probably had, the wealth distribution was way higher towards the higher end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, most people had nothing, whereas they had everything.
Yeah.
Like, they would never see a Ryu.
Right, exactly.
Whereas, like, it would be like if in today's society, if you had that amount of money and nobody else had anything.
Right, exactly.
Like, we didn't have a livable wage. We had to build our houses out of bullshit. And, like, it's feudal Japan, people. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3? Come on.
Wait, that's the one where they go back in time.
They go back to feudal Japan, and they keep referring it to it as feudal Japan, so that's where why I now refer to anything with a samurai in it as feudal Japan. Because obviously it is feudal Japan, but it's also just the nomenclature I'm familiar with from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. It's also my favorite Ninja Turtles movie. That's one of the weird sort of sequels where I feel like I like 2 better than I like 1. I like 3 better than I like 2. It's like the only time this ever happened. Mm-hmm. Even as a kid. Like, I still had a basic knowledge of Back to the Future 1 is better than 2.
I liked Return
3 is
Jedi.
Better than both.
Return of the Jedi was my favorite when I was younger.
Me too. The third. Yeah, Return of the Jedi. When I was younger, and then when I got a little older, and it was Empire, and now it's probably A New Hope. Because just as a film, I think it's better.
I don't know. I feel like the Ewoks really ruined.
I mean, they're adorable. If you're a kid, the Ewoks, like, you just want to own one.
Yeah.
That's why I liked Gremlins when I was a kid. I didn't care about the movie. I cared about wanting a Mogwai more than anything. I still would love a Mogwai.
I liked the Alien 3. I liked the best as a child, Alien 2 as a teenager, and Alien 1.
Alien 1 is clearly the better film.
Right.
And Aliens is really good. And Alien 3 is just not that good of a movie, but pretty good.
Yeah.
Good enough.
I liked where they went with it. They could have done better.
It was just weird. It was just weird, the shots he chose to use. It seems like it was just the wrong guy in the wrong situation. A lot of wrong.
Right. They could have done way more.
I heard recently,
like, the prison people, it could have been way more realistic than that at that time period. They could have all been, like, smoking crack and fucking doing shit like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead of just, like, bumble butts. Yeah. Like, actually, like, bumbly, like, moral people, actually, which were, like, most of the inmates in that prison.
I was thinking about Prometheus today, and I was thinking, like, it doesn't fit with me. It doesn't fit the aesthetic of Alien.
No, it doesn't, but it was a good movie, I thought.
I'm not even saying it doesn't fit the aesthetic as in it doesn't look like Alien. I'm saying it doesn't fit the aesthetic as in I don't see how they can exist in the same universe, almost. Like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, these, like, space truckers. I guess if you're thinking about it in terms of, like, I don't know. I guess, like, I feel like we're all like cats with fucking bananas. But, like, how could he come in here and put down bananas? Who comes in here and puts down some?
I don't know. Nobody.
Nobody. Just.
So, yeah, a lot of money. They had a lot of money in Sticks. They got Sticks in Spades.
You think the band Sticks is named after this movie? And not the river Sticks?
Wait,
no.
You don't think so?
No.
How's it spelled?
STIX.
Because it's multiplicative.
Wait, I thought the river Sticks had a Y in it. What, am I fucking up here? The river Sticks from days of old? From river?
Like from Greek mythology?
Yeah, the river Sticks. How do you spell that? No, that's the same spelling. It Sticks the band.
Strix.
But you said it. You said it.
Baleful
they spelled
Strix.
It STIX. It's STYX.
STYX.
Oh,
that's
Sticks.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So now I'm less confused. Okay.
Whatevs.
Strix.
STICKS. Right.
That's why do they name their
Stikes
band that? Sticks isn't very good.
Stikes.
Weirdly, Sticks is like a poor man's Rush. Can I say that?
Sure.
They're a poor man's Rush.
Strix is a bird of ill omen.
I feel like we're making the idea secretly that we talked about earlier. The tarantula suitcase. Briefcase or whatever it was. We're like making it by mistake.
Baleful Strix is a fantastic man.
Dick. Have we agreed to do a third Akira Kurosawa? Are we going to do that?
Sure. I don't care.
Okay. So all right. We're going to do, because Akira Kurosawa is fucking awesome. So
he's the best.
I really fucking love
he's
all these
the
movies.
Best. He's the best.
So we're going to do Ran and Rashomon, right?
Yeah, Ran, two R's. The two R's. Ran, okay. Ron.
R squared.
Ron and Rashomon.
Which is very similar to the capital investment Ron. Company L squared.
Yeah.
L cubed?
L squared. Yeah. They do a lot of business with Dollar General.
It's actually called L3, but...
Okay, that's it. Cuckoo, bye-bye.